Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 21st of October, recording at 9:47 p.m. And still British summertime for a little bit longer. Now, first the highlights today. Well, pretty choppy action overall. Asian stock markets were mostly quiet. Hong Kong was lower on a banking problem. The CITIC Pacific, I believe, losses. Due to trading, or rogue trading, allegedly. Japan was firm in here today, up 3.3%. Second section is also steady, and it looks interesting. European stock markets in and out of profit, to closing mixed on the day. Wall Street down, then briefly, well, up, then briefly down, then up, and then down again. So a little less hectic than the volatility that we saw a week or two ago, but still choppy in here overall. Declines of 2.5% on the Dow, 3 on the S&P, and 4 on the NASDAQ. Long-dated government bonds were strong. Corporate profits, declines in corporate profits had weighed on Wall Street a little bit, and perhaps helped push the bonds up, bond prices, that is. The U.S. dollar is amazingly strong in here. The dollar index is currently 84.3. It has been up to 84.5 nearly. The euro is fallen back to just above 130. It might be some psychological support. The yen is rampant. The dollar is down to 100. So quite dramatic action here overall. Sterling down to 167.32. Okay. Precious metals. Well, gold is weak against that background, currently 772. But I couldn't find a story behind this, but silver rallied, currently up 37 cents in after-hour trading at 10.06. Platinum and palladium were also slightly steadier. Industrial metals were mostly down, although a modest gain in nickel. Copper's fallen back to the sort of psychological $2 level. Soft commodities were mostly easier. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, there's some respite in the fears, market jitters, but, well, let me stick with that theme. Some respite because people no longer feel that the entire Western banking system is collapsing, or possibly even the global banking system, due to the coordinated and concerted rescue efforts. And those are going to continue. And I described this as a situation where the central banks hadn't exactly crossed the Rubicon, but they've launched the Motley Armada. It's a particularly wide Rubicon. And may feel like the Dunkirk evacuation for beleaguered investors, but these are important moves. And one can say, as I believe I said on Friday, is that for the first time in a long while, we've got all central banks moving not only in the same direction towards easing and cutting rates, but also a direction that is ultimately bullish for stock markets. Now, given all the fear that we've seen and that investors have experienced, we can't expect stock markets to, go from these type of long grinding and then accelerated downtrends into sustained rises without some pretty choppy action first. Take a while, really, to recreate or to bring back the animal spirits that we get behind overall upward trends. But again, I emphasize, we are no longer worrying about the complete collapse of the banking system, but we know that a lot of damage occurred. Monetary policy is moving in the right direction. So what else is wrong out there? It's not the crude oil price. It's not the lower commodity prices generally. That's good news for the global economy, although not for the specific producers of those items. I think the big problem, other than the fact that people's confidence has been damaged, is that we all suspect that there are more skeletons in the closet. Now, what do I mean by that? There's more bad news that is likely to come out in this type of environment. Now, people always feel that way prior to important rallies, and I wouldn't be surprised if we do get an important year-end rally in stock markets. But these circumstances are different and perhaps more dangerous than some of the other post-sell-off periods that we have seen, largely because there's been so much deleveraging. There have been all sorts of problems in the hedge fund industry. Read Tim Price on that today when I post comment of the day. His comments are quite interesting. He likes the stock market at these levels, incidentally, but mentions problems in hedge fund land. Well, I think we all know that. So you can't be sure where a stress problem is going to pop up in terms of further liquidation. So that's the background generally. But we also know that part of the background involves some very attractive valuations on some world-class companies. Now, does one go running in to buy for a year-end rally and what I suspect will be the Obama bounce and honeymoon period? Or do we wait for the base formations overall? I think that one could justify either decision. I do think we have tradable rally potential in here over the next few months, quite possibly, at least over the next few weeks. But when we look at the charts, we can see that everything's in a downtrend, albeit overextended downtrends. I've just mentioned the risk of further problems in hedge fund land and no doubt among the banks, where all those highly leveraged positions inevitably lead to some accidents. And we don't have base formations on the charts. So if you decide to opt to sit this one out in terms of cash that you may have earmarked for investment in stock markets, well, I have a lot of sympathy with that view, and that's exactly what I'm doing. Now, I do have an attractive return in my New Zealand dollars, although the currency rate against sterling had moved against me. It's been moving back in my towards my entry point or opening point for that position recently, but it's still paying 8.03% on my 1 month 1 month rollover. I was surprised at that level. The rate varies every month, but I have been averaging over 8% for quite a while in that, and that's the best performance that I have in my investments right now. So I'm reluctant to give that up at a time when I look at these stock market trends that are sufficiently overextended, as are many share trends, to be extremely tempting. But as I said before, they are still in overall downward trends, and we don't have evidence of base formation activity. Now, when we do have evidence of base formation activity, they will be well off their lows. But that's a trade-off I'm willing to accept, as I already have equity positions in my long-term portfolio. The one factor that I'm certainly not considering right now is any kind of capitulation selling. I think that would be a mistake down at these levels. And I can't say that stock markets have bottomed, and neither can anybody else yet. But certainly valuations are much improved, even allowing for declining corporate profits. Declining corporate profits, I think, is going to be the main concern, other than a few remaining skeletons that I said might fall out of the closet. But the big story is probably just declining corporate profits against a recessionary background generally. But to try to summarize on all of this, equity markets look interesting. There are some outstanding values out there in fuller money themes. The trend of monetary policy is favorable, but as I've said before, we cannot expect markets to rebound strongly on the first hint of a shift. Think of China, for instance. We had all those interest rate hikes. Ditto, ditto India. So the first cut or two doesn't necessarily revive those animal spirits. In terms of currencies, the dollar situation is fascinating. I can understand the post-intervention momentum play. I can understand the interest rate equalization story, but I think it's an exaggeration. In other words, we certainly aren't going to see all countries cut their interest rates down to the 1.5% that we currently have for the federal funds rate in the United States. I can see the temporary shortage of dollars due to the deleveraging, but this is an exceedingly powerful move here overall. Owen and I looked at a lot of currency cross rates this morning, and yet there's still no evidence that these moves are over. But we also concluded that they were so strong that when the dollar did start to break its progressions of higher reaction lows against various currencies, when it did start to do that we would probably see a very significant recovery. That would be bullish for gold, but meanwhile, gold is sort of languishing here in this mostly, well, around the $800 level down to the mid 700 dollar level. Obviously, the appreciating dollar is still a headwind for the US dollar price of gold. But the point I'm trying to make is that when this dollar does eventually break its progressions of a higher reaction lows against various currencies, we can expect a big setback. When that occurs, I would expect a number of commodities to rebound from some of their overextended positions. And while gold does not look overextended on the downside, it's certainly well off its highs, and I would expect it to do very well against the background of a change in the dollar's trend. Meanwhile, I do think that one doesn't want to become more bearish of gold as it retests lows around just beneath that 750 level. The lower gold goes, the more attractive it is for those who want an insurance policy, and gold is certainly that. So, interesting times here overall. I think it's probably a time where discretion is still the better part of valor, but it is certainly not a time for despair. And just look at the big problems overall that we have had over the last year. the spike in, well, the for take the spike in crude oil prices first. That's over. It's left a recession in its aftermath, but that has always happened with crude oil spikes. The spikes in food prices caused a major inflation problem, particularly bad for emerging markets, but that's over. We had what many people felt was a dollar crisis and might well be a dollar collapse. The dollar's had a big rebound from these levels. And those long-dated government bond yields are they certainly haven't risen very much given all the deflationary concerns that are in the marketplace. And then last but certainly not least, the banking crisis, the West's banking crisis, we have finally seen an appropriate response from governments and their respective central banks. So one by one, these really serious concerns are becoming history. Yes, we're left with a global recession, and yes, we're left with further downgrades in corporate profits, which certainly could go on for another quarter or two, but that's hardly the end of the world. And when it's all said and done, I think there's more improving news, far more improving news out there than deteriorating news. Now, tomorrow, I will be completing the service unusually early, because both Owen and I have commitments in either the late afternoon or early evening, but we'll certainly still put in a full day's output. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.